Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air. I'm Pedro Baez, sitting in for Dr. Earl Lafari Hutchinson. And joining me as always in the studio is Angela Birdsong. Angela, what have we got going on today?
Yes, Pedro, and good day to you KPFK listeners. Today on the Hutchinson Report, we will discuss, is the First Amendment dead? We have in-studio guest Dr. Misi Harris. Back to you, Pedro.
All right. Thank you very much. And if you haven't heard by now who Misi Harris is and why we're having a doctor on the show, I'm going to let her tell you exactly why she is here. First of all, Misi, thank you so very much for joining us on the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air, and welcome to KPFK.
Thank you for having me.
Go right ahead. Tell us exactly why you are here and what is going on.
So I am a pediatric dentist in Columbia, Tennessee, or maybe now I should say was. The town is predominantly a white American small town. I was the only African American doctor in the town. This is the town that I grew up in, of course, went to high school too, and then 10 years later, after all of my medical training, decided to come back and practice there for the pure sake of providing children who are on Medicaid a place to go for dental care. I've been there for over a year now, and throughout this year, I have unfortunately been spied on by my own colleagues, which are the two doctors that actually own the office. I say spied on to the point whereas they knew my stance in the media. I've been in the media for over 3 years now. I did my absolute best to separate my work job at the office and my public life as a public figure. Being that, I decided early on to block them from all of my private social media accounts. I do have public accounts that my fans and friends are welcome to, but I also have a private account that is strictly for my really close friends and family. What recently happened regarding a new post that I put on my private Facebook page, and I'd like to mention again, these two doctors had no access to my private page, but I did speak a lot about what was going on in Ferguson, Missouri. What was going on in New York with Eric Gardner, the Mike Browns out there. And a picture was screenshotted of my post by a friend of theirs who happened to have access to my page. Upon the screenshot being sent to them, I was then called into an office meeting and pretty much given the ultimatum that I was either to not speak of these African-American issues that were controversial going on in the media, or to then leave my job as a pediatric dentist at this practice.
So, and also, if I'm not mistaken, too, you were being groomed as perhaps the first black bachelorette. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've stood up about a lot of things that I think are very important. Right now, on mainstream television, there's a lot of reality television shows that really portray black women in a very, very negative light. And I'm just not going to be one of those women. No offense to Love and Hip Hop, no offense to Real Housewives of Atlanta, no offense to Married with Medicine or Married to Medicine, but there's no doctor that I know that acts like that. And so I will not be portrayed in such a manner. Regarding The Bachelor, I was actually chosen to be a contestant on the show, which would be one of 25 women. And I simply told them at that time, if you want me, a doctor, the only African-American woman probably that you're going to put on your show, well, then you're going to have me as the one giving out the roses. I will not be kicked off on episode 4.
And I take it they were going to pair you. Was this going to be an interracial pairing, or is this going to be a pairing with another African-American male?
Well, since the show has been on air, There are normally a few token minorities on the show as contestants. However, there has never been an African American in the lead role. I think what they were scared of, number one, is their audience is predominantly white. A lot of African Americans do not watch this show for that simple reason. They have no one to identify with at all.
Exactly.
On the show.
And definitely none of my people are there. I don't see Pancho. I don't see Jose. I don't see any of those guys.
That's absolutely right. And when they do decide to put on, a Jose, they kick him off about episode two. So you leave your job, you leave your family for what, 5 minutes of fame? What I realize is that I could do is I can make a big impact by showing, I don't need this 15 minutes of fame. I am worth way more than that. I'm not a contestant on a show, and I'm not one of 25 women. I am a woman that's very accomplished.
Were your employers upset about the fact that you turned down the Bachelor to be a bachelorette, or did they have any opinions about that at all?
Well, the interesting thing about that is that actually started well before I signed a contract with this practice, and they were actually very excited that I had so much publicity because it would bring so many more patients to their office.
Enrich their pockets, yeah.
Absolutely. Even more so recently, I do have a YouTube channel. And just a month ago, one of the partners, the actual one that seemed to have the biggest problem with me and decided to spy on me at the time, had asked me to film members of the staff and office and put it on my YouTube channel. So how inappropriate can I be if you want to be on my YouTube channel that has thousands of subscribers?
Yeah, when I read your story, Macy, I was quite taken by the fact that as you and I had talked about prior to coming on the air, I looked at this and I said, my gosh, this seems like something out of the 1930s. Here you are, you're practicing your profession, no problems with that. And for everybody out there who is not aware of this, Medicaid in California is known as Medi-Cal. You're practicing your profession, doing quite well. You're loved by your patients. I take it your patients were predominantly white?
My patients actually were predominantly black and Hispanic because they happened to be on what you call in California Medi-Cal. I was one of the only dentists and pediatric dentists that agreed to accept this type of insurance. A lot of doctors don't like to accept it because it is a 40% pay cut.
And also it takes time in order to receive the fee, as opposed to somebody who walks in, shows them a credit card, gives them a check, or gives them cash. If they're still doing that, they get paid right away. So they have to wait. And so they were not exactly, shall we say, accepting of this particular practice.
Absolutely. And not just the fact that the money wasn't there. They simply didn't like what came along with taking Medicaid/Medi-Cal patients. That happens to be sometimes the parents are late. They may not have transportation. In small towns like mine, public transportation doesn't exist. Several of these parents had multiple children. Several of the parents were single moms. And for that reason, I even had extended hours on Monday so that mothers didn't have to take off because they need their money. I also offered extended hours on Fridays, and if anyone is familiar with the dental world, dentists do not work on Fridays as barbers do not work on Mondays. It's a cardinal rule, but I broke that rule and decided to open up the practice for Friday appointments as well.
And, of course, there were some people who were not exactly accepting of that particular situation.
Sure. There are plenty of times that I heard griping about my patients not being picked up on time, or that the one transportation bus that we do have in our hometown, there's only one, that the bus only runs, every 2 hours. So, for instance, if I got finished with one of my patients in 30 minutes, they had to wait into the waiting room for another hour and a half. And, the other doctors at the office did not like the fact that the kids were still in the waiting room waiting for the bus to come. We're about to go to lunch. There was nonstop griping. And the sad thing about it is that when you go into medicine, whatever type of medicine that is, your sole purpose and your promise to patients out there is to do no harm and be there and to accept them.
Hmm. Okay, well, we just want, if you're just tuning in, this is the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air. I'm Pedro Baez, sitting in for Dr. Olafari Hutchinson. Our guest is Dr. Macy Harris. And What I noticed here is that your belief is that you were pushed out of your job simply for being a black woman in America, and perhaps maybe you were too professional and too good of a dentist, and there were people who just did not accept the fact that you knew your craft, you knew exactly what to do, and the fact is that you wanted as many people as possible to be able to benefit from your expertise in your profession.
Absolutely. I think it's really sad now that when someone like myself, as an African-American woman, does become very successful in a career dominated by white America, that we are then told to not speak about things that are absolutely important for our own race. I refuse to be a robot. There are many public figures out there that are simply scared to talk about these issues because of their reputation, and they're scared of losing their fans and friends that may not agree with them. I just happen to be the one that's not scared.
And I understand here is something that I would like to read from what your publicist, Diana Ziskin, had sent to me. Case in point, right before the last presidential election in 2012, Dr. Misi Harris was invited to a dinner with President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama as part of her involvement on a Obama campaign team. At that time, her employer advised her not to go because, quote, we're all Republicans here, unquote, and that President Obama was the one responsible for the financial ruin for his office, unquote. I was expressly told at the time people who wanted to work for him should not be siding with Obama. So in other words, if you wanted to be in the practice, you couldn't be supportive of President Obama.
Absolutely. I could not speak of my own political rights at the time. He actually calls the Affordable Health Care Act the Unaffordable Health Care Act because it simply takes money out of his pocket. Again, besides treating the patients like we should have been doing, it was really all about counting dollar bills.
Let me just kind of piggyback to something I said earlier when I read this. I thought of James Cagney. And the fact that he was given a rough time by then FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, because in 1936 he had the gall in Hoover's mind to send money for the defense of the Scottsboro Boys. That got him into trouble, and of course that in order to kind of get out of Hoover's hair, he had to agree to do a film called G-Men, which incidentally turned out to be a good movie. But besides that, I mean, he was basically forced to take that role. 12 years after that, in 1947, HUAC, the House of Un-American Activities Committee, had become formed, and the person on that committee was none other than freshman Congressman Richard Nixon, who, of course, would go on to claim to fame as being the one who tried to cover up Watergate. But the fact of the matter is that Humphrey Bogart had taken what you would call a stable of Hollywood stars to Washington to protest HUAC because of their wanting to investigate the film industry for quote-unquote subversives and what have you. And, of course, 3 years later, the Hollywood 10 happened, where 10 people, prominent people in Hollywood, were blacklisted because of their politics, because they refused to answer questions. They were practicing the right of freedom, of being able to dissent. And the one thing that we all know, dissent should not be mixed with disloyalty. You were allowed to dissent, and in essence, you were dissenting as well. So I kind of looked at that, and because of the fact that you were basically chosen to be a contestant on a popular show known as The Bachelor, which is not a show that I watch anyway. I prefer old series television to this so-called reality TV. You were basically kind of like put on the pedestal, but at the same time, you were told, don't get too comfortable.
Absolutely. Not to get too comfortable with the fact that as an African-American woman, again, that I'm still able to make my own choices, and that, you know what, there are some women out there that would jump on the bandwagon very, very quickly to get on television. I, however, am just not that one.
I heard that. Okay, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a little pause for the cause. This is the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air. I'm Pedro Baez, sitting in for Dr. Olafari Hutchinson. Angela Birdsong, of course, is our producer. Ray is back in the studio, and he's handling the boards. And our special guest in studio is Dr. Misi Harris. We will be right back. And we are back, and of course, Nelson Riddle and Route 66, as our guest, had to go from Tennessee here to Los Angeles, and we played that for her, and at the half hour, we have a song that's definitely just for her and for ladies everywhere out there who decide to be independent and also be equal. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. The phone lines are starting to get jammed, and with good reason. I mean, here we have someone who is very intelligent and very attractive as well. And maybe that was another thing that they probably didn't like, the fact that here we have a very smart and intelligent and very attractive African-American woman practicing her craft, doing well. May I ask, of your patient load, how many were white? Approximately, in percentage, not in numbers.
Probably a percentage of 25% at the most.
Any complaints?
Absolutely not. They loved me. They have continued to still support me. I get so many social media messages from my past patients that say that they are so sad that I left. A lot of the reason is because a lot of these patients, too, were on Medicaid, and they were simply unable to go to that practice prior to me becoming a doctor there.
Poor white people.
Exactly. They do exist.
Yes, indeed. And if anything, they're perhaps the predominant group in terms of receiving Medicaid, or Medi-Cal as it's known here, and mm-hmm. also a lot of governmental services and subsidies, because every time you hear about that, it's generally a black face, a brown face. You never see a white face.
No, you really don't. And I think a lot of the reasons why my patients really, really loved me so much and gravitated towards me was because I am an unconventional, I guess, pediatric dentist. I don't feel the need to walk around with my white coat on all day long and have my chin stuck in the air. I like to be very approachable to these kids and to these families. I don't want them to think that I'm judging them in any type of way. So,
as we say, you're one of the people.
I'm one of the people.
You're regular people.
I'm regular people. Uh-huh. I just had a great opportunity to go to school for over 10 years, thankfully, to my single mother.
And, of course, the other thing, let's also mention the school, a school that I am very familiar with, because I knew many medical students back in the day when there were things like Ford Foundation grants, and I was involved in an administrative hospital administrative internship in New York, Meharry Medical College. You went to the dental school.
Well, I actually went to University of Kentucky College of Dentistry.
And we have a dental hygienist on mm-hmm. the line, I believe. Okay, we're going to be getting to her in just a moment. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. 818-985-KPFK. Let's go to Window in Los Angeles. Window, thank you so very much for joining us. You're on the Hutchinson Report.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, Dr. Harris, you don't do adult dentistry, so I guess I had to get my number 30 cuss repaired elsewhere. But I do have some dental skills. Now, I was a technician once upon a time. Now, if you need a hard-working tech, let me know where I can apply and where I can audition for you, because I got some skills now. But what I want to talk to you about, I want to commend you for holding yourself to a higher standard as far as representing the sisterhood on TV. Because I'm sad when I watch TV shows like The Basketball Wives, The Atlanta Exes, and so on and so forth, you know, because they just, you know, it's shameful the way they act on some of those shows. It's kind of brutal, you know, it's kind of sad, you know.
Absolutely.
But like I said, where is your practice? I'm serious about becoming an assistant for you.
Thank
you, Window.
Relocated to Los Angeles.
Okay, and let's go now to Sheila in Ventura. Sheila, you're on with Dr. Harris. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning, Dr. Harris.
Good morning.
I was just tuning in for a few minutes, listening to little bits and pieces of your conversation, and some things just hit many notes. When you're an Afro-American professional, whether it's medicine, dentistry, nursing, you're just met with a lot of resistance at times. I'm not saying that everyone's like that in the profession, but you are many times met with resistance because of your race and your educational level. So I feel you, and because I've gone through many of the kind of like experiences that you have gone through, and I've been doing this for decades. So I just wanted to let you know, just hang in there. I just want to be a good cheer to you and encouragement and, you know, stand on your shoulders and just keep going. You got to keep your head up high.
Thank you so much.
You can't let anyone get you down. Yes, we're gonna run into those roadblocks, you know, but we have to jump over the hurdle all the time. It's just the way it is, you know. Nothing really, you know, things have changed, but I guess big changes are to come.
Big changes are definitely to come, and thank you so much as another person in the healthcare field who has agreed to share their story. I think it speaks volume.
Thank you very much for weighing in, Sheila. Dr. Harris, one question I wanted to ask you. Of course, you had a lot of your patients, of course, were very supportive. What have you heard from the medical community outside of Tennessee?
Well, a lot of people actually want me to come practice there in their state for many reasons. One is because the specialty of pediatric dentist is one that doesn't have enough doctors in that particular specialty. As far as anything negative, I haven't heard anything negative from any of the healthcare providers. Several doctors in different fields have reached out to me and said, you know what, thank you so much for speaking out about this because I was scared to. And this has happened to me as well. And this has happened to several of my old classmates. And this is something that we should have spoken out about a long time ago. And now that you have the voice that you do to speak out about it, please don't stop.
And I agree completely because, if anything, I remember being there at the time when PAs started to happen. And, of course, the established doctors said, oh, well, they're practicing medicine without a license, you know, giving injections, doing this, doing that. I mean, I spent 8 years in medical school, and here this person comes along and takes a year's course and is doing what I do and didn't have to go through all that I had to go through and have to endure debt. And, of course, at that time, the debt was nothing like it is now for college students, all of this bickering, and then finally today PAs are considered part of the family and no big deal.
And they should be, because just like dental assistants and dental hygienists, we as dentists can simply not run a practice without them.
Exactly. I agree. I agree. And I think that if anything, you have proven to be a model for many of the in the community who want to see somebody who looks like you. And if anything, too, I think that more importantly, you are a model not just for women, but for young African-Americans, young Hispanic-Americans, young people in general. They see you. They can relate to you. No gray hair, no pot belly. I mean, you are very youthful, and there you are. You're doing dentistry, and there's no question about that.
Yes.
You're doing it well.
Yes, and again, I was given a very great opportunity at a young age. I grew up with a single mother. She put me through dental school and my sister through law school, so we definitely beat the quote-unquote odds. And I don't even consider them odds because I know there are many people that can achieve the same thing. We just didn't forget where we came from. Simple as that. Many people think that when they succeed in life that they are no longer on that lower level, say, of their race. And they simply forget.
Okay. Now we got somebody who I know is going to probably talk a little bit about that. This is none other than our friend Keith from Los Angeles. Keith, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, sir, for the introduction. I just wanted to say to the doctor, congratulations in a positive way, because I can turn this into a positive. Actually, what happened to her about the discrimination and the First Amendment applies to Congress. It applies to the government making laws that discriminate. Now, private industries should be able to have more freedom to do what they want. Let me explain. In the days before the Civil Rights Movement, there was segregation. Now, how many businesses were prosperous in the black community? We had, we provided a lot of services for ourselves. It's not until integration that we began to start losing a lot of that because of a government mandate. So I think that whatever integration happens in our society, it should be based on the free market. Now, she is benefiting, thank God, she is benefiting the doctor from a free market, I mean, in a sense, because you should be able to go out and make it on your own, and if you have a better service or product, then God bless you. You should be able to outdo those people who discriminated against you. That's what I say is positive.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Any questions, though, for Dr. Harris, Keith, before we go?
Well, I have my own dentist, but...
Keith, I'd actually like to say something to you, and I'm really glad you brought up the Civil Rights Movement, because that's a very big concern of mine. Where is the Civil Rights Movement now? Do we really have one anymore? Wow. Where are our leaders?
Well, I see. I'll let Pedro answer it in length, but I could just quickly say that our leaders... unfortunately, our leaders have pretty much left the boat. I mean, because, look, civil rights still applies, and for the original purpose in which it was used, the black, chattel slave descendants, which are us, it is no longer being applied. It's being applied to many other people, gays and lesbians and people who are, and please don't take offense, but this is not for them. It is for the 14th Amendment, the chattel slave descendants. That's the civil rights movement. But we have now taken it to the extreme and applied it to everybody else, people who are foreigners and everyone else.
Well, Keith, one thing about civil rights is not just simply a black issue. It's for all humanity in the country.
Right, I understand that, but I'm just saying that the original purpose in which it was designed, the 14th Amendment, the 13th Amendment, the abolishment of slavery, the inclusion of the chattel slave descendants, that was the actual text of the Constitution. You need to read that.
I've read it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thank you very much, Keith. And we're now coming, I can't believe it, we're already almost at the halfway mark here on the show, and so we just want to remind you that this is the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air. I'm Pedro Baez, sitting in for Dr. Olafari Hutchinson. Angela Birdsong is our producer. Ray is manning the boards. And whenever looking for the very best in progressive programming, be it talk or be it music, keep it tuned to the swinging spot on the dial. 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM San Diego, 99.5 FM Ridgecrest China Lake, and streaming globally, and that's around the world, at kpfk.org. This is KPFK, and this is for our guests.
Art and Craft is a documentary which starts out as a cat-and-mouse art caper, rooted in questions of authorship and authenticity, but emerges as an intimate story of obsession and the universal need for community, appreciation, and purpose. One of the most prolific art forgers in U.S. history, Mark Landis's impressive body of work spans 30 years, covering styles and periods from 15th-century icons to Picasso and Walt Disney. Posing as a philanthropic donor, a Jesuit priest, or a grieving executor of a family member's will, Landis has given away hundreds of forgeries to a staggering list of institutions, but ultimately discovered he must confront his own legacy and the museum professionals clamoring for him to stop. Art and Craft opens on September 26th at the New Art, 11272 Santa Monica Boulevard in West L.A. KPFK Film Club members are invited to call the front desk during business hours at 818-985-2711. Dial 0 for operator for a pair of tickets, good Monday through Thursday only. And if you aren't already a film club member, please consider joining at kpfk.org.
Monday morning on Uprising, we'll get the latest in the U.S.-led war on ISIS with Dar Jamil, independent journalist and author of the book Mass Destruction of Iraq. And Alondra Nelson joins us to discuss her book, Body and Soul, The Black Panther Party and the Fight Against Medical Discrimination. Plus, we'll hear from a teacher representative of the Jefferson County School District in Colorado, where there have been walkouts and protests against the whitewashing of their history books by conservative extremists. Join me, Sonali Kolhatkar, on Uprising, weekdays at 8 a.m., right here at KPFK.
And, of course, that's Helen Reddy with the anthem for women everywhere, I Am Woman. Miss A, is that the first time you've heard that song?
It's not.
Is you've heard it before?
I have.
What have women said about what's happened to you?
Women have been very supportive, and I mean women of all races. They're simply upset, too, because as a woman now, we are starting to venture into these fields that were male-dominated at one point. And they, too, just as a black woman, they go through several areas of discrimination, even through their residency training, because it's still a male-dominated field.
And let's also clarify that by saying a white male-dominated field.
Absolutely. So I even have white friends that are dentists, that are physicians, that say, oh, gosh, I'm so glad that someone has finally said something. Because even in dental school, medical school, residency training, we are still considered to be the low ones on the totem pole.
Well, before we continue with the calls, I just would like to mention and a very special thank you to Roy Parker and Storyteller Productions for the wonderful evening that they gave me last night in attending the opening of Martin Dewey Calls over at the Acme Theater at 135 North La Brea Avenue in Hollywood, California. It was just an evening that was off the hook, and I mean off the hook. I was just overwhelmed, and I was just totally speechless to be part of opening night of this wonderful play. And of course, the play will be going on tonight at 8 o'clock and tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 8 p.m. as well. There are tickets available. Again, that's the Acme Theater, 135 North La Brea in Hollywood. You definitely want to go there, and you definitely want to see a wonderful production. It was just totally off the chain. And again, thank you so very much to Roy Parker and also to Dave Wendell Boykins, the director of the play, and to the cast. I was just treated wonderfully. So thank you very much, guys. Okay, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Is the First Amendment dead? Dr. Misi Harris, who lost her job in dentistry in Tennessee because she had, in the minds of her employer, the audacity and the gall to speak out about things that were going on, and especially talking about Ferguson. And one other thing, too, before we go into the Ferguson issue, I did take a look at your Facebook page, and I noticed there were what could be considered suggestive photographs there. I won't go into any descriptions because this is a family show, and of course we do have, I guess, your stepdaughter here along with your husband, but I won't go any further than that. But do you think that might have also caused a ripple of maldiscontent amongst your employers?
No, I've actually been with that office for a year and 1 month. I am a model. Those pictures were taken well before I ever started at the practice. And being that they do have a way to spy on my page, I'm sure they've seen those photos and they still hired me. And not to mention, still asked me to become a partner at the office 2 weeks prior to me leaving due to this situation that took place on social media. Again, I try my best to keep my private and public life separate, but I am a model. I am an entertainer, and that's what comes along with it. So if they didn't like seeing my shoulders and my hands covered over my body or something like that, they should have never hired me. Again, these are people that had asked just a few weeks before to be on my YouTube channel to help them with publicity. If you look on my YouTube channel, you have to ask them. So you're mad at this girl for talking about Ferguson, Missouri. You want her to put you on her YouTube channel that talks about Nicki Minaj and that talks about Beyonce and what's going on in the media. But you wanted the publicity. You wanted that.
So, in other words, they didn't want you talking about Ferguson. They wanted you to basically be a pretty face, help their practice, attract new patients, and just enrich the practice for their benefit without any benefit to you. And you were just basically window dressing. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. One of the things I also was intrigued about here is that you've also have called out our generation dolls and target for racism. Explain a little bit about that, Dr. Harris.
Sure. I am a vlogger on YouTube, and so I definitely look for, you know, significant things to talk about, but a lot of things that have really big meaning. It just so happens there's a company called Our Generation, and they manufacture different levels of dolls. However, the only African-American doll, her name is Adriana. Adriana is only offered in the standard edition. And I say standard as in there are deluxe edition dolls that have a profession or that have a hobby. So we're talking about dolls that come with ballerina clothes and little dolls that are gymnasts and that have their gymnastics clothes and things like that. Dolls that are, you know, horseback riders, and they have a horse that comes with them and extra clothes and extra shoes and accessories. However, Adriana, the sole African-American doll from this doll maker, is in a standard box. It only comes with her in her one little outfit, as if she doesn't have anything better to do.
Didn't the manufacturer ever hear of Gabby Douglas?
Exactly.
Didn't the manufacturer hear of Lisa Leslie? Didn't the manufacturer hear of Diane Carroll? Mm-hmm. I mean, who was the first black woman to have a doll basically named after her? When Julia, the television show, for those of you who are old enough to remember, went on the air, one of the things they did immediately, I believe it was Mattel, they put out a doll that had a resemblance to Diane Carroll in a nurse's outfit. Mm-hmm. And here she was there for any and everyone to enjoy, to buy, to look at, and to have in the collection. And even Barbies. There are black Barbies that are out there. But yet our generation seems to think that Adriana is just, the token black girl that should be there. They don't want to be accused of racism. Oh, no, we have a black doll. But what does she do? Oh, well, she's there. You know, I mean, we've taken care of what we need to do. It should be no problem.
We fill the quota.
Thank you. We fill the quota. So the thing that I'm that I'm kind of curious about is that how can this doll maker not be aware of the fact of all these other dolls that have been out there and all of the role models that and people that I just mentioned?
They just simply ignore the fact. They feel probably like their main buyers are white Americans, and therefore they had no reason or felt that they had no reason to manufacture a large amount of African-American dolls that did have these hobbies. Now, this doll, it retails for no more than $30 to $35. So it's actually a great doll if there were a lot of races. How are you going to call this our generation? And there's one white doll, maybe one Hispanic doll, one Asian doll.
Oh, there is a Maria.
There probably is a Maria, but you don't have these dolls in deluxe editions. And I even have to speak about Mattel right now. Yes, they have done a decent job with Barbie. However, Barbie still looks like the white Barbie. It still does. It has hair that used to be blonde, that they turned black. It's the same exact body, the exact same face. I don't know too many black girls that really can relate to black Barbie anymore because it looks nothing like them.
You don't see a black Barbie with dreads. You don't see a black Barbie with braids. They're dyed, fried, and homogenized to look like their white counterparts. And of course, the black Barbie does not have a Ken. I guess she has to go out with Ken.
That's right.
Who has that Southern California look that they mention all the time?
No different color skin tones. So we just get Mocha Barbie, basically.
Mocha.
For every little kid out there. And, you know, for me, Mocha Barbie looks nothing like me. And so I found myself buying Malibu Barbie often.
Oh, okay. So you bought the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Barbie, the original one.
Malibu Barbie is kind of the Hawaiian one.
Oh, the Hawaiian one. Okay. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. Interesting here, the retailer Target, what have you've encountered with them when you brought this to their attention?
Well, actually, I've gotten back contact with the Our Generation doll maker, and they did inform me that they are trying to figure out how to manufacture a deluxe doll that is African American, that it is taking them some time now. But they do plan on doing so. At that time, they did ask if I would be interested in helping them market this doll after my outrage on YouTube, which reached over 12,000 views and is still getting comments on. It is on my channel, of course. This was not something that I planned. I literally went into Target that day, went down, the doll aisle, and simply realized that
Was this a conversation with the store manager?
No, the Our Generation doll makers are not actually in the United States. So my publicist and the Our Generation doll maker ended up talking, and they knew about me, and they definitely knew about what I had said about their company. I wasn't simply putting down the company. I just refused to buy from a company that doesn't represent minorities in a positive light. There are African-American girls that do ballet and that do horseback riding and that can do a lot more than just sit there.
And also, for those who are not aware, also swim. We did have a couple of black swimmers on our last Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the Hutchinson Report, Town Hall of the Air. I'm Pedro Baez, sitting in for Dr. Olafari Hutchinson, along with Angela Birdsong and Ray manning the boards. Our guest is Misi Harris, and I should say Dr. Misi Harris, forgive me. Is the First Amendment dead? Your calls coming up in just a moment. We will be right back. Okay, we are back on the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air, and we're currently joined by, right now, and I do apologize that I made an assumption here, we're joined by Dr. Harris's fiancé, Chris Silber, who is a director, and I understand that there is a project currently in the works. Chris, tell us a little bit about this.
Well, we are working on several things. Misi and I are actually planning to make a movie together. We're also working on a documentary. We started a campaign called Not a Target. We want basically anyone, not just young African-American teens, but other people in the country who have been exposed to police brutality or who are in areas where that happens. And we can see that actually happens to everybody right now, to let society know that they are not targets. So we're working on a project. I myself am an Emmy-winning filmmaker, and I've got a friend who's a Grammy-winning composer and hit writer, and we're actually working on a song, a music video, and a documentary to bring that message out and to let a lot of young people in the country know that they can, whatever it is, we're going to make the logo public. Actually, it's already on the Facebook page, to tell the world we are not targets. I am not a target.
All right. Well, we look forward to that project, and I know that that's going to be coming up pretty soon, and when it does get available and it's available for screening, we'd like very much to be involved with it. So I just want to let you know that the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air will definitely like to be a partner with you with regards to getting the word out. Let's go to Mary in Compton. Mary, go right ahead. You're on the Hutchinson Report.
Hi, good afternoon to all of you. I would like to say I'm terribly sorry to Dr. Harris for what she's had to endure, but I so appreciate her integrity and her sense of self, and I'm so grateful to her for looking out after the children and all of those who don't fit into the quote-unquote mainstream of America. Thank you, Dr. Harris. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for your support. It is greatly appreciated, and actually it helps me get through some of the hard days when I do have a lot of criticism coming from people.
Darling, you are such a blessing to all of us. You have no idea. You will inspire me forever, forever. So when you have those dark days, remember me and know that I am praying for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for that, Mary. We appreciate that. Let's go to Rita in Irvine. Rita, go right ahead.
Yes. When I heard you speaking about black dolls, black Barbies, I had to call in. I have been collecting Barbies and other dolls for over 24 years. And I must tell you the correct name of the Hispanic Barbie. I have over 100 of her. Her name is Teresa with no H, just T-E-R-E-S-A. She is the only Hispanic Barbie. The black Barbie, her name is Christy with a T-I-E, well, okay, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E. She is the black Barbie, and of course, Barbie is white. And they also have black Barbies. Now, your guest on the show, I go everywhere to find a black doll, a black Barbie. And I want to tell her where she can find a lot of black Barbies.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, that's very good to know, Rita. Very, very good to know. I would think that Teresa is probably more more known as Teresa, if you're going to use the if she's the Hispanic brand of Barbies, it would be Teresa, and of course Christy. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the late Teresa Graves, who did a television character by the name of Christy Love. For those of you out there who are into trivia. That's a little bit of information for you. I think that's where they probably got the name Christy. Dr. Harris, any comments on what Rita had to say?
You know, Rita, I would actually appreciate that if you could give me some more information about that. I haven't gotten to talk about this too much, but I do have a YouTube giveaway channel. It's the strictly giveaway channel where I do my research and try to give great things to not only kids, but women and men. And if I can get my hands on some really great African-American Barbies and some really great Hispanic Barbies and Barbies of all races, and if you know a Ken out there that's a different race, you let me know. You can find me on Facebook by searching for Official Missy, M-I-S-E-E, Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, and on Instagram at Missy Harris. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Rita. Let's go to Phil in Santa Barbara. Phil, go right ahead.
Yes, could I talk about the First Amendment issue?
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, in the history of our First Amendment, it's often disappeared, and it's we've had to fight and struggle to bring it back. The First Amendment doesn't interpret itself. It comes in through the court system. And the court system is a political institution, and we can influence our politics by doing what your guests and your callers have been urging her to do, and that is stick to her guns and get her message out. And we shouldn't be intimidated, because there are all these forces that are trying to silence us, from surveillance on one hand to groups like the Federalist Society that are now the members of our Supreme Court are representing, who have always been hostile to free expression. And I just want to commend her and urge your listeners to really take up the banner, because the First Amendment is under threat from a lot of sources now. We're having it being used to allow employers to deny health coverage to their workers. We've had it be used to allow employers to keep gay people from having access to health care also. All these things are being defended under the right of religion, which is never, ever the purpose of the First Amendment as the founders intended it. So I just wanted to put that out on the table for you.
Thank you so very much. And we also want to let everybody know that there is a black Ken. His name is Stephen. There is no Hispanic Ken, no Pablo, no Pedro, no Jose, no Enrique. Hopefully that's going to be coming pretty soon. Thank you very much, Phil. Let's go to Tut in Los Angeles. Tut, go right ahead.
The Shenzhen Doll Company, and they had a problem with selling their black dolls. It seems that you know, and everyone else who knows something about black psychology, that black girls prefer the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white doll over the black doll each and every time. So let's be intellectually honest. What, for whatever reason, black dolls did not sell for black people in days gone by, when of the Shandana Doll Company, toy company, making toys exclusively and preferably for black kids.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I do recall, of course, the very famous test that Dr. Clark had put out, where basically black children were picking out white dolls as the doll that they would want to have. Now, go right ahead, Dr. Harris. What would you like to say about that?
However, there is a company called American Doll, and I will tell you this. I've spent several hours in this store, and there are children of all races waiting and looking and searching for a doll that looks just like them. American Doll is a very amazing and reputable company, and one that actually even has a hair salon that can make their hair look just like the child. So though I can't agree with you right now, I do understand there has been some, you know, psychology done by this, but you have to realize too that simply these black children that may have been picking out these blonde hair, blue eyed dolls had nothing else to compare it to. Of course not. What did that black doll actually look like? Did it really look like them? Was it their skin tone? Were they simply always used to having the Barbie type with the blue eyes and with the long blonde hair? Possibly so. I think we should maybe do another test. And let's take this to the hood, where there are a lot of African Americans and Hispanics. And let's see what doll they would pick out. Would they go to American Doll store, or would they go to Our Generation at Target?
All right. Well, that's a very good way to almost end this segment. Dr. Harris, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Absolutely. I have a website. It's www.missyharris.com. That's M-I-S-E-E-H-A-R-R-I-S. All of my social media links are on the right side of the page, so you'll be able to follow me on Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Google Plus. I have them all. Definitely, you can contact me through Messenger on Facebook by going to my official Missy Harris page, and that's, again, M-I-S-E-E-H-A-R-R-I-S. And you can also subscribe to my YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/M-I-S-E-E-Harris.
Okay. And before we go, of course, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get some commentary from our own producer, and that, of course, is none other than Angela Birdsong. Angela, tell us what you've thought about this.
Well, like most people, we most definitely want to give encouraging words to Dr. Missy Harris and just keep on with the good fight. And Rita had to call back, the one who has the Barbie doll collections, to make sure that everybody know that you can find plenty of black Barbie dolls near La Cienega and Rodeo.
Let's not forget Stephen, the black, love the black hen. And also, let's also make sure that, and one thing I do want to let Dr. Harris know, had you been practicing in New York or you'd been practicing here, you wouldn't be here right now. You'd still be working.
No, absolutely. And I do intend on my work in dentistry to be continued here. If anything else, it's made a lot of doctors want to really go into practice with me, and they could care less about their Facebook accounts and mine. I wanted to include one more thing, and that's very important. The people that I was working for actually asked me to open up all of their social media accounts and to manage those accounts. One thing that I would like to also say, it's a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he actually says that we may have all come on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now, we are. And that's one thing, as an African-American, please do not forget, no matter how far you make it in the industry or how successful you are in any field, remember where you came from, remember where your ancestors came from, and let's stay all in this same boat so that we can look for better.
And on that note, I do want to say thank you so very much, Dr. Harris, for joining us. This has been the Hutchinson Report Town Hall of the Air. I'm Pedro Baez along with Angela Birdsong. And I just want to say again, as always, stay focused. Stay engaged, but most of all, get involved. Till the next time, this is Pedro Baez saying, pa'lante.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara.
Check it out.
Support KPFK and enter to win a pair of tickets to see the legendary rock trio Crosby, Stills, and Nash live at the Greek Theatre, October the 3rd, 7:30 p.m. The contest is already underway, and winners will be chosen Wednesday, October the 1st by 5 p.m. Go to kpfk.org and pledge online. No amount is too small, and no amount is too large, and you can enter more than once. You can also enter by calling 818-985-2711, extension 326, during normal business hours, Monday through Friday. Crosby, Stills, and Nash have added a second show at the Greek Theatre on Friday, October the 3rd, in addition to their Saturday, October the 4th show. The group will perform songs from their extensive catalogue, as well as new material from each member.